Hey, everybody. Welcome to Red Ledger. I'm Denali Bell, and my friend Melissa Stanton is joining me today, and I'm really grateful. Melissa is a woman with a very extraordinary story where she was consumed with the grips of addiction. She was involved with some very dangerous people, and through the grace of God, she found herself through that and into her new life, her new wineskin.
Mm-hmm, yes.
So today she's going to share with us her transformative journey. I think part of it that really resonated with me, there are some very critical, pivotal points of clarity that you had that really led to your transformation. And I am hoping that we get to touch on that because it really touched my heart, and I hope it does yours as well. So we are just going to go ahead and get started. Thanks, Melissa, for joining us, because this is hard to share a story sometimes even in person, but on video in front of strangers can be even more tricky in our minds. Yes, so yes. I thank you, because I think testifying and our stories help other people.
Absolutely.
It helps, you know, we found on the podcast that sometimes people just knowing they're not alone is huge.
That is huge.
Or they see that one person can do it, so they can too.
Absolutely.
Which I love. Or sometimes they're just here to celebrate with you, like,
right.
Yay.
Right. Absolutely right. Yes.
So where I want to start, because I really kind of like these conversations to start in our childhood, because I think during those transformative years, things can happen.
Yes.
Did you experience a happy childhood? Did you have trauma? Was there anything interesting of note?
I had a wonderful childhood. My parents were both loving and supportive of everything that I did. I'm a bit of a rebel. I'm a rebel, definitely. And I believe that started at a very young age. My parents were everything to me. I'm an only child, so I was there doing everything with them, going to church. And then I hit a good 16 years old and decided, wait a minute, I feel like I'm being forced here. I'm not going to do this. And I started to really let the rebellion side slip out. Mm-hmm. And then it took charge. I left home and it hurt them.
At 16?
At 17.
Okay.
I left home. It hurt them, and I saw that it hurt them, but I did it anyway. And they were still there.
And I have met your parents.
Yes.
And they are truly loving, deeply loving and caring people.
Right.
So I think that is awesome. And it's always interesting because I always think, okay, something must have happened
right
along the way.
Right.
But it sounds like just regular old teenage rebellion.
Yes, absolutely.
Okay.
Something happened immediately after I left home, which is what really started the whole ball to roll. So
okay. Do you want to share that with us?
Sure,
okay.
I will. I was 17 and I got involved with a man and ended up getting pregnant. And during the pregnancy, he was very abusive physically and mentally, very. He would lock me in the closet and anyway, just.
How old was he?
He was my age.
Okay.
Same age as me. I had the baby and 3 months later, after the baby was born, he took her by the legs over his head and slammed her head into the concrete floor. At that point, I realized, oh my goodness, this is horrible, not wanting to believe someone would try to hurt my child. So I didn't believe him. He's like, hey, she fell. Okay. Come to find out, we had found out what he had done. And that started my progress of starting to try to hide all of my emotions right there. That's where the pain began.
So had you, by this point, had you started, I don't know if you were drinking or doing drugs or what your party of choice was.
Yeah, no, not at all.
Okay, so at this point, you're 17, you're clean,
yeah,
you're having a baby.
Yeah.
What was the catalyst that led you down the addiction road?
Many other relationships just like that one.
Oh, so there was a pattern built.
There was a pattern built of choosing the wrong relationship, not because I was hungry for a man, mm-hmm, not because of anything like that. It was because I was hungry for being wanted. I was hungry for acceptance. I was hungry for attention.
Okay, so this is a tricky one for me. I just have the benefit of knowing your parents.
Yeah.
And it doesn't seem like that would have lacked within the parenting,
yeah,
for you to want to seem, doesn't it seem like in life, like it's something you didn't get, so you
right
go seek it?
Right.
I mean, that's my story. That doesn't mean it's your story.
Right. No.
So it's interesting.
I understand that completely. It is interesting. It was such a healthy home growing up. I had to throw a ball into it. I had to wreck it.
Mm.
Just pure rebellion and trying to go the hard way. I always chose the hard road.
Like I've said before, you and I would have been gasoline in a match together at that age.
Trying to think I could do it better. Uh-oh, I didn't do it better.
That's so interesting. So just a rebellious spirit.
Yes, terrible.
Okay.
Terrible. So many other relationships like that, other abusive relationships. And
I suppose then that created some kind of sense about yourself, right?
Horrible. It was horrible. I suppressed everything. I let it all just sit there and smolder. And never dealt with any of it properly, ever. I just let it build on top of another one, on top of another one, on top of another one. And there I'm sitting there like, what am I? I don't want to feel anymore. I can't stand this. I'm hopeless. I'm helpless. What do I do?
And you weren't sharing with anyone?
Oh, no.
How come?
I didn't want to look like I was a failure.
Oh. Okay, so this leads me to another question, because you did grow up in a family where your father was a pastor.
Yes.
And so you also have to wonder, do you think part of the rebellion was the pastor's kid rebellion
100%
syndrome?
Yes, yes.
Okay, because there's like so many expectations.
Right, right. You live in a glass house. And I remember one time in the church, I was drinking or doing whatever, and the people of the church went to my dad and said, you know, the apple doesn't fall far from the tree. What's going on here? And I felt horrible. Like, I can't believe I'm bringing dirt into my mom and dad's home, and they've been so kind and just to me. So I was like, watch this. Watch what I can do next. Terrible. And left home and just, you know, just stayed gone.
And then you're not sharing with your parents what's right. happening, because right. I feel like they might have helped you through it.
I'm sure they would have, yes.
Okay.
My mom picked me up one night. We were going to go bowling and have a family night. And she came over and scuffled my hair. And I leaned back and she says, what is wrong? She felt lumps in my head. I'd been beat up. And it crushed her heart to know that I was going through that and not sharing it with anyone. I was just in my own little cave, in my own little world, trying to hide.
Is that when you started doing drugs?
Not yet.
Okay.
Not yet.
Okay. What's next?
So I thought that I found love. I finally found love. All right. And I had a good job. I was working as a nurse and traveling from house to house. And
so you were a single mom, got through nursing school. Okay. Yes. That's a big deal.
Yeah. It was a lot of work. I mean, I had times where I was on top of the world, and then I had times where I was funk. So
I relate.
Yes. So my boss took me out one night. We went to the bar and she goes, hey, can you find me some Coke? And I'm like, I don't know. I don't do that stuff. Anyway, I found a guy who looked like he might've known what the Coke world was about. Anyway, I went to him. I said, do you know where I can find any of that? And he says, no, but I have this. And it was meth.
Oh my goodness. And how old were you?
I was 30.
Okay.
Maybe 35.
Okay.
35, I believe. And
so this happened later in life.
Oh yeah. Which,
that's fascinating.
Oh yeah. It was 7 years ago when it happened.
Wow.
So how old was I then? I don't do math very well, so it's okay. It's fine. Anyway, I did the meth in the bathroom of the Whitewater Saloon in Meridian.
Okay.
And I never stopped for 5 years. Never stopped day and night.
You just did it once and thought, yeah. What was the experience like? Why do you think that took a hold?
It made me feel like I didn't have any other pain from prior that I'd been suppressing. I didn't feel any of it. I felt like I was on top of the world and I could do anything, and that I was going to do everything.
So can you share with us what that journey looked like while you were on drugs? Like what happened to your family? What happened to you?
Absolutely. Yeah. For the first year, it was great. As great as it can be. I mean, there weren't any real problems. And then I started making contacts with other people and it started growing and getting bigger and getting bigger. And my family started giving me this.
What do you mean by you were getting bigger?
I was involved with some very questionable people selling drugs.
Okay. Because you had to sell probably?
Yes. Sell for a higher up to other people. And I had quite a large following. So I was successful. And that's a terrible thing to say like that, but I was successful and I did a really good job at it. And I started killing myself. I started killing my daughter, my best friend.
So your daughter was living with you at the time?
Living with me, yes.
Okay.
Both of my daughters.
Were you still working?
No. I was no longer working.
Okay, because you didn't need to because you had the business.
A great income, yes.
You still have your daughter, but you're no longer working as a nurse.
Right, no longer working.
Okay.
I started looking at my kids like, what's going on? Why are you revolting against me? What's going on? We're having fun. I'm the fun mom. We're enjoying life right now. And they weren't buying it. They were not buying it. I didn't see anything but what I was doing for me.
How did it affect them? Like looking back, you can probably see the effects now, right?
Looking back now, even to this day, Gabby, my daughter, will say something to me in jest and it'll just hurt. It hurts so bad. Although I did heal from that. There's just times that she wants to get me and she gets me. So
I hear you.
Yes. But it hurt them so much to see what their mom was doing. I know they saw it. I tried to hide it, but they saw through it.
Because they were probably old enough to understand something was different.
Oh, definitely. Definitely.
Okay. How old were they when you first started?
Gabriella, which is my youngest, was 16.
Oh, so yes. Yeah. So she knew what was probably going on even.
Yes, absolutely.
So. Okay.
And my oldest daughter was 20.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay.
They knew.
That's really later in life.
It really is. Really was.
But I hear this happens amongst nurses sometimes later in life. Is this something you witnessed or?
No, I didn't witness any of that.
Okay.
I just know that it could be.
Or maybe it's just the stories I've heard that are anecdotal. I don't want to say there's a statistic here.
Yeah, it definitely could be because the nurse is the one who's the caretaker, the one who takes care of everyone else's problems and leaves them behind. Like, it's okay. And then finally one day they snap and they're like, oh, no more. It's all about me. You know, something like that. I don't know if that's factual, but maybe.
So now you're knee deep in the drugs. You're selling drugs. Yes. What does your life look like?
It was a chaotic wreck. It was a mess. The man that I thought that I loved, which I do, still do. I ruined his life. I did horrible things. I ruined my kids' life. My best friend, she, at the time I thought she turned her back on me. Like, I'm sitting here and I need you. And little did I know she needed me more.
Oh.
So anyway, it's a lot of things. I killed a lot of things, but through this journey, I learned so many things about what I hold precious to me and what I'll never let slip away again.
Praise God.
Yeah.
I don't know how much you want to share or if you want to share about this, but I find it interesting you found yourself selling drugs. How did it evolve from using to selling?
It was just a contact or two that had ample supply and wanted to make a lot of money, and it was cheaper to buy bigger. And so I just started doing that. Kind of like
smart
Costco.
Girl. I see. So there's consequences. Your family's starting to fall apart. Mm-hmm. What are your parents thinking at this time? Do they know what's going on?
Oh, they know what's going on. Yes. Yes. But I wasn't listening to reason. I wasn't listening to anyone saying, you got to stop. I was like, you know, it's fine. I'm fine. I'm good. Don't you worry about me. You're fine. Okay, bye. And then keep them at arm's length.
So I don't know. We had a podcast, I think you might have seen, with Josh on it. Mm-hmm. And he was saying meth was the best thing he had ever done.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
I just find that fascinating.
It is.
How scary that is.
Yes.
How scary that statement is.
Yeah.
Because we've seen the pictures of people on meth, people not on meth. Did you look markedly different?
Absolutely.
Okay.
Oh, yes.
Did you have that meth look?
I absolutely did. Yes,
okay.
Absolutely did.
I just can't see it, but
I have lots of pictures.
Sweet. Well, what made you stop?
Looking around at my life, I'm not going to say looking back because it wasn't a time now to look back. It was right there in the moment. I looked around. I had no one. My daughters had moved out, moved in with my mom. I was all alone, and God spoke to me within the still hours of the night when I'm sitting there high as a kite, and he says, my daughter, this is not who I created you to be. So I tried to stand up on my own. I tried to put my feet underneath me and say, okay, well, I got to get this fixed. Still high, but making provision and making my situation better so that I can leave that situation. Mm-hmm. I kicked all the little weirdos out of my house And
so you had a community living in your home.
Just people, just hanging out.
But you still felt alone.
Oh yeah. Cause they weren't anything to me. They were nothing.
Yeah. Cause they probably can't really be there for you either. No. If they're probably partaking in the same things you are, right?
Yeah. They just wanted what was in my pocket.
Okay.
That's it. That's it.
So did you always believe in God?
Mm-hmm.
So this wasn't new and it wasn't shocking to you that God would speak to you?
Oh no, not at all. Not at all. I grew up in a spirit-filled home. Not that I was so much spirit-filled at the time because I wasn't putting my time into him. I wasn't putting my time into anything else but that.
So were you saved as a child?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
And so you were saved and you knew Jesus and then you backslid. Is that fair?
Okay.
I've done it too. No judgment, absolutely. No condemnation. Like I hope to never do it again. Grace of God.
Right.
You carry me and
right.
your strength.
Yeah.
But I'm just trying to get the story.
Yes. Yes.
So you backslide probably through your rebellion.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
And then you hear God's voice.
Yes. I'll back up just a little bit more.
Okay.
I was actually the worship leader for my dad's church for years. And so I had a walk with the Lord. I had a good one. I had a great relationship with him. And yet it wasn't quite true. You know what I mean is true within myself. It was, you know, I had a relationship with him, but it wasn't as deep. It wasn't a manifested relationship with him because I hadn't allowed it to be.
When I was younger, I mean, I was saved younger too, but I didn't have that, I guess, intimacy with him.
Yes.
It was more of, oh, this is what you're supposed to do. This is what the Bible says.
Yes.
Not
exactly. Exactly.
Yeah. It was more of a religion.
Absolutely right. That's exactly what
it was.
And it was
my own created religion.
Yes. 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 Right. And then I created my own hell. It was my own created hell. So, I mean, I have been through the fire and came out and realized that was ridiculous what I put myself through and my family through because I created it because I didn't want to feel anymore. I didn't want to feel Jesus anymore. I didn't want to feel God. I didn't want to feel the call on my life that I'd ran so hard from my entire life. I didn't want to feel it.
How come?
I didn't feel I was worthy.
Mm. That's what it always boils down
to. It does, doesn't it?
Always for everyone.
Absolutely. Yeah. I got my house.
I still struggle with that.
Do you?
Sometimes. Yeah. Sometimes.
Yeah.
Like, oh.
Me too. So I got my house cleaned out and I went to a rehab facility that takes 2 years to get into. I made a phone call and they said, oh, can you be here Monday? And I said, okay, I suppose so.
I hear you.
I suppose so. Right. Was that not a call? My goodness. Got right in. It was hard getting there. It was the longest drive in the world. I kept trying to take detours. Like, I'm not sure. I think I need to do something else first, but I got there and I spent 3 days and I was very sick, but I was trudging through it.
For detox?
Uh-huh. Yes.
Because you were using daily?
Daily, nightly for that many years.
Okay.
Yes. I never stopped.
Wow.
And 6th day, I was feeling quite a bit better. The 7th day, I woke up that morning and it felt like I could see how blue the sky was.
Mm.
I could see how green the grass was. I could smell smells in the air and I started feeling again. I started feeling feelings. And I went to my probation officer because I did get in trouble with the drug world. And I said, well, I'm moving out of rehab. She says, no, you're not. And I said, I am. And she goes, you know, everybody who gets clean thinks that they're going to go conquer the world. And I said, but guess what? I will. And she's like, okay. I love her, by the way. She was wonderful. She was wonderful.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah. So I left rehab and I went and moved in with my mom and started growing a relationship with her again and started growing a relationship with my kids again. It was a definite, slow, steady race, but we're getting there. We're there.
So yes, because they have to earn.
Oh.
You have to earn their trust back,
yeah,
right?
Absolutely. Yeah, but it was good. So I clean, never looked back on drugs. I've never looked back.
Do you have any desire?
Never. Not even a little bit. Not an inkling. No. No, a desire to maybe, I'm going to word this wrong, but to maybe feel like I can conquer everything, but I have found a different substance.
That's awesome.
Yeah. Yeah. That was the end of the drug journey, but not the end of the fight. The struggle began then. It was definitely a struggle after that. And up until now, there's still struggles, but it was half the battle to stop the drugs.
Because I was going to ask you, was the finally feeling something bittersweet? Because Definitely. You weren't feeling anything and now you're feeling it. Feeling. It's beautiful, but there's also real feelings you have
real
to deal with.
Real feelings of dislike, of hate, of discontentment, of all of these things that brought me to my knees in the first place that made me even want to feel numb. Mm-hmm. So I had him on my side the whole entire way. And he'd show me little things what to do next. Because you can't go to a book. You can't go to a manual and say, this is how you get off drugs. This is how you get clean and stay clean. Nope. I had my father who was there every single step of the way to show me, this is your next step. This is your next step.
Did he speak loudly to you?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Praise because God.
I would want him to.
Absolutely. It wasn't distorted by other feelings of anything. It was, this is me and you, God. This is me and you. Holy Spirit, I'm going to let my foot dangle until you guide me to where I'm going to step next. And you're going to guide me through it. And he did. And I believed him for every minute of it. And he did.
That sounds surrendered.
It was surrendered.
Had you ever fully surrendered like
never,
that?
Never. So then I just had to start healing myself from what made me want to be numb in the first place. Mm. That's the battle.
And what does that look like?
I went to jail. And while I was in jail, I was mad and sad because I still had that mentality of, I'm good, I'm right. fine. Still had that mentality because I still have to heal a lot of stuff. Mm-hmm. And so I found out I had to spend 14 days in jail. Oh my goodness. So the first 3 days was miserable. It was horrible. And everybody around is crying and whining. And so I go lay in my bed and I'm like, this is lame. I hate this, but I got to get through it. Yeah. So I went and picked up a Bible, read several verses, like greater is he that is in me than he that is in this world. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. It was just a moment of like, I know all this stuff. This is kind of yada, yada, yada at the time because it wasn't a realness to me yet. It wasn't a manifested reality to me yet. That night I began to cry. Mm-hmm. For what reason? I'm in jail. People look at me like, oh, sorry, you're here. But it was different. It was definitely different. I felt a call. You know how when you start a diet or something, or you start to do something and you have to go buy your shoes and go buy your this to get ready for your walking and
to
all of your things.
Talk myself into it?
Yes, exactly. Exactly. And I'm like, okay, well, I've got to get worship music together because Jesus, God, Holy Spirit said, come with me. Just come with me for a minute. And I'm like, I got to get all this together. I got to find my Bible. I got to do all this. And he said, stop. Just come spend a minute with me.
He was going to do a new thing.
He's going to do a new thing. And it was a great thing. It changed my life in jail. Yes. Ada County Jail.
Praise God. He shows up everywhere. He's everywhere.
I'm laying in bed and I'm crying. And then I hear the voice of the Father saying, we're going to do something. It's time for you to forgive yourself. Mm-hmm. So I'm like, okay, fine. I can do that. So he took me to myself back when Shaylin, my oldest daughter, got hurt. That very moment, I remember where I was standing and what I was doing in the same household, not at the time that she got hurt, I wasn't there. But in that moment where I'm standing there so broken and so alone, the first time I had ever been really, truly beaten down. Mm-hmm. So I went to myself and I put my arm on my own shoulder. And I looked at him. It was so real to me. And I invited him to come up here with me and we both held her and we both forgave her at that very moment where she was standing. And then it felt so healing, right? Just that one, that had to be a rough one that I'd been carrying for that many years. It had to be so hard. And then he would remind me of things I didn't even remember, things I never even thought of. And he says, okay, well, let's go here. So we would go there and do the same thing and love her and forgive her and tell her that it's going to be okay and tell her that she's forgiven and that she's loved and she's redeemed.
Wow.
That opened up a whole new world to forgive me.
Did that stick?
Absolutely, it did.
Praise God, of course it did. Jesus is on you, healing you.
Right.
Forgiven.
It absolutely
I really
did.
Believe that.
Yeah, it absolutely did.
Because that's a common struggle for all Christians too, yes. to feel like they're worthy of the forgiveness.
Yes, it's huge.
And we're not. And that's why we needed a Savior.
Yes.
But thank you that we are forgiven yes. and that He does want us to forgive ourselves.
Yes.
He wants that.
Yes.
So we don't live in that shame and guilt because that's right. where all the bad stuff happens.
It's horrible there. It's horrible.
Did you ever experience any issues before that because of shame and guilt? Do you think it ever kept you somewhere bad?
That's a really interesting question. I believe that's what formed my way of parenting, the guilt. So I would let them do whatever and not be the mom that I was supposed to be. I'm sorry. Yeah, okay, let's do that. It also formed me into being a people pleaser and I'm sorry. Okay, let's do this, which in turn, it's a vicious cycle of relationships, of parenting the wrong way, of living the wrong
bad behavior around you.
Yes, yes, because I was guilty. I'm not good enough to be a good enough participant in this relationship. So let me do what I can do and show you other ways of love when that's not love.
It isn't. Yeah. It's, you know, I kind of went through this with my oldest son too, because I divorced his father and I felt such incredible guilt mm-hmm. over it that I did things and let things happen that yeah. were just highly inappropriate because
yes.
I felt bad for him and I wanted yes. him to like me and yes. I didn't want him to feel abandoned.
Right.
You know, all yeah. of the stuff.
Yeah.
And it's just, yeah.
It's really hard.
Really big mistakes are made in those places.
Absolutely.
And it wasn't helpful for him.
Right. No, just prolonging the inevitable of things are going to slide bad.
So, some circles, we call that codependent behavior.
Yes, exactly.
But we are healed. Yes. So we don't.
For sure. So then I got out of jail and the whole entire rest of the 9 days that I spent there, I was in the Word and I was praising God for where I'm at because I'm sitting there stuck. There's no way I'm turning back now. I'm going to start making a good foundation for a real life, for the mm-hmm. life that He created me to have. So I'm in the Word and just in my own head, in my own little bunkie right there and just building myself back up.
Wow, making great use of your time in jail.
Right. It wasn't too bad.
That's awesome.
Yes.
You had some verses that you held on to, mm-hmm. right?
Mm-hmm.
Did you have any specific concepts that God taught you during that time that still carry you, that you hold on to, like, okay, this is the truth?
Yeah, absolutely. So definitely the greater is He that is in me. He's greater than anything in this world that can ever be offered. And I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I have the strength of Him. I have Him. He abides in me and I abide in Him. But here's the big one, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, will give unto us the spirit of wisdom and the revelation and knowledge of Him. And so I just thought about that. Okay. That we may know what is the hope of His calling. Okay, the hope of His calling. What does that even mean? And I've never heard this preached before. I've never heard it talked about or taught before. But I started reeling on it, laying in my little cell. That we may know what is the hope of His calling. Okay. So God has hopes. I mean, he created all of us and He hoped that, you know, when He created me, this is how I saw it. When He created me, He had a hope because I do have free will and I messed that up a long time ago, you know, but the hope of my calling, what did that look like before I got in the way?
Oh.
The hope of my calling, He had placed these callings on my life and these giftings in my life and said, okay, well, there you go. What was that? What was that looking like? What did that look like to Him through His eyes? And now I'm going to do everything I can do to make that a manifestation. I'm working on trying to find out what it is that He saw.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's to awesome. See through His eyes what that looked like.
I think that's so, you know, when I have difficulty with someone or something or with myself, I often ask God, help me see them through Your eyes.
Yes, yes.
And it's always this beautiful or sad or heartbreaking thing yeah. that gives you compassion for somebody that might be painful.
Yes, absolutely. Yes.
It's pretty for awesome. Sure. He's
for
so good.
Sure.
Can you tell us any challenges that you experienced in your faith on this journey? Were there any setbacks? Were there any, come on, God. Why is this happening?
Definitely. Absolutely. Yes. I started Life Bible College and that was great. I was still only maybe a halfway through my build up journey. You know, I was only halfway there.
And then you start Bible college.
Well, during Bible college, I was still building. I've only been clean since February 22nd, 2022. So it's 2/22/22. That's my clean date.
That's awesome.
Anyway, and then I started school in September. So that was only clean for 7 months before you met me. So
wow. Yeah. So I did meet her through Life Bible College because we were both students there and we are graduating this year.
Yes.
Pretty excited. Yes. And I instantly loved you and your family. Yeah, I mean, just instantly. Yeah, so you were in Bible college.
Yes. And things were going great. I felt my relationship with God, my relationship with everyone was building at this point. Mm-hmm. So it absolutely helped train me and shape me and change my way of thinking and change everything about me. But there was still, do you notice a difference between me now and last year?
Yes.
You do?
I do. I do see a difference. There's more diligence.
Yes. Yes.
Okay. So you're setting a good example for me. There seems to be less anxiousness.
Yes, absolutely. That's huge. That's huge. I'm not constantly trying to, what are we going to do next? Where are we going? So that was a part of that lifestyle that I had to kill off. And it's working. I mean, I still get hyper because that's just who I am. But
that's funny. I was talking to Dani yesterday and she's did a podcast with me yesterday. And she was talking about the hard part of it was realizing I'm going to be bored. This is going to be boring.
Yes.
Or thinking that she's going to be bored. Yes. It turned out that she was wrong.
Yeah.
But being okay in the peace.
Absolutely.
Being okay in the quiet was really hard for her.
While I was fixing my house, getting ready to get clean, I was like, I'm just going to be bored. I said that so many times. I'm going to be bored. I don't want to do it. I'm going to be bored. But I'm never bored. I lack for nothing to do. I'm out in the woods all the time. I do all kinds of weird stuff, you know? So I'm never bored.
I love it.
A lot going on. A big thing that came at the end of the school year last year was I had to take over custody of my grandson. And at the time I was feeling pouty, like, this is my time. I'm going to Pine Ridge Indian Reservation. I'm going to go around and I'm doing all kinds of stuff. I want to go minister and teach other people what God, you know, what God has for them, the hope that he gave me, to those that are hopeless, to those that are feeling like I'm not going to get clean. I'm going to stay here. And so then I'm like, oh man.
And sounds like he gave you that ministry.
Yeah.
He gave you that grandson.
He did.
You gave you your ministry.
He did for the season. And he's wonderful. But I was feeling so sorry for myself. Mm-hmm. Like, man, I want to be playing right now. I want to be out doing stuff. And that also settled me down. Like, no, this is what I have for you right now, mm-hmm. which I'm glad because at that time I wasn't even where I'm at now. You know, I was still strung and kind of, you know, I just wanted to play, but.
And what if you took off playing?
I know.
I mean, cause I look at, you know, sometimes when he stops me from what I want and I'm frustrated.
Yes. Yes.
And it's better.
It is.
Like he gave me something better.
Right. Now I have a little buddy to take with me fishing and playing. He's something else.
So cute.
He absolutely. He's a blessing to my life. And he loves to worship the Lord with me. We'll lay in my bed and we'll listen to my worship right before we go to bed. We sleep together, you know, it's probably not great, but we sleep together.
They do in other cultures.
Right. I know.
My kids slept with me for a long time.
Right. Yes. But
they're going to love that.
Yeah.
You're welcome.
Right. But we lay there and I put my worship music on and he'll raise his hands. I love you, Jesus. And he is such a blessing to my life. So
praise God.
Yeah. It's wonderful.
That's awesome. Sometimes wonder what ministry God has for me in life because I know I want to do something mm-hmm. like you said.
Yeah.
But you know, he keeps telling me you are healing, like you're healing
right.
and you're going to help people. Within 5 feet of you be healed, it's going to be a ripple effect.
Yes.
And it doesn't look like what I naturally wanted it to
Absolutely.
Look like.
Right.
But it looks still beautiful because I see this like pebble going in the water and mm-hmm. it just rippling out.
Yeah. Right.
So my healing will cause others to get healed.
Absolutely.
Which is kind of why I want to do podcasts like this with you.
Yes.
Because I believe that.
Mm-hmm.
I really do. I believe your healing will get other people healed.
Absolutely right. That's exactly right. It will. And if I look back if someone were to come to, well, they did. They tried so many times coming up to me, you know, God loves you. God wants you back in the ministry. That happened several times with some other people, not my parents, mm-hmm. but other people. And I'd just be like, shut up, stop.
Did any of it stick with you? Were any seeds planted?
No, it irritated me.
Oh, okay.
So.
That's interesting.
It irritated me really bad because I know what you're trying to tell me. I know God wants me back. I'm going to do this. Yeah.
Did anyone say, you know, I've had people in my life who have been in your shoes mm-hmm. and I prayed constantly for God to send laborers because they didn't want to hear from me.
Right.
Did you feel like any laborers? Because I'm guaranteeing your parents said the same prayer. I would bet 100. Mm-hmm. I'd bet 100. Well, I'm sorry, God, I'm probably not supposed to bet. But if I could bet $100, yes. I would bet that your parents prayed those same prayers. That laborers be sent to you.
Daily. I know that they did.
Did you have any laborers sent to you that you knew were from God, that you heard or that maybe helped or changed things? You can be honest, if not.
I can.
I'm just curious.
There was...
I feel like I'm going to love where this goes, just by the look on your face.
There was a man who was part of the cartel.
Okay.
And I couldn't speak to him because he spoke purely Spanish, but I had an interpreter. And we were sitting on my couch, we're just sitting there being silly together and had the interpreter there. And he said something about God. So the interpreter told me, and I was like, you believe in God? And so it went through this weird little channel, and I brought out the guitar and started playing the guitar because he was there for the night. We're just chilling there.
Yeah.
And we started talking about God, and then we didn't need the interpreter anymore.
Wow.
Isn't that weird?
You know, I think people have a hard time with this.
Yeah.
But if you look in the Bible, God used imperfect people Absolutely. The whole way through
Yes.
to share his word Absolutely. Or to do. So I Yes. think it's really cool.
Yeah. And it wasn't so much that he was sent by God. I'm not saying that. I'm saying the fact
we
that
don't
that
know.
Little, maybe that little stirring in mm-hmm. my spirit, even though I was high and I don't want to be a hypocrite because I'm not a hypocrite in any No. way. I would never say that. But I still felt that little stirring, and we're sitting here talking about the Lord, and it feels a little bit like ministry uh-huh. a little bit, but it still made me hungry mm-hmm. for him and for more of him.
I think he does that.
Yeah.
I mean, I think that's how he's beckoning, yes. beckons us back.
Yes. That still small voice was still in there.
He still shows up. Even, you know, we try to push him out yes. and sometimes we're successful.
Right.
Right. But yeah. thank you for your relentless pursuit of our hearts,
yes.
God.
Yes, absolutely. He's so good. So good mm. to us. So at that point, with making all of the foundation as seamless as I can, as he can, as we both do together.
So he cuts one addiction out of your life.
Yes.
And people often replace it with something else.
Absolutely. Yes.
Did you find yourself in that situation?
Apparently, yes, mm-hmm. I did. It was something else that soothed me along with God and you know, the relationship with him.
Do you want to share with us what it is?
Sure, I absolutely can. It's an addiction to eating the wrong kind of foods. And
so I have struggled with similarly.
Uh-huh.
In fact, just so we're transparent here too, and you're more comfortable in this conversation, I do that with food. I used to go until yesterday. it's I'm working on it.
Uh-huh, right?
It's something God and I are dealing with.
Yes.
I go to what we call the carbohydrate closet uh-huh, here in the house
uh-huh.
and I can hang out there
yeah.
and eat massive amounts of food
right.
to deal with a problem.
Yeah.
And then I punish myself
yeah.
in extraordinary ways.
Absolutely. Absolutely right.
And where I'm not punishing myself anymore.
Good.
Unfortunately, that led to a tremendous weight gain. But I feel like it's part of the process that he's taking me through.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I completely agree with giving up this one giant thing yeah. for something else. So
well, it seems less harmful, right? And
right.
it is in some ways because you're not hurting other people, but this is what I found about it.
Yeah.
I'm hurting myself and then I'm hurting people around me because I'm crabby and nasty about it.
Yes, absolutely. The way I'm working on that is I'm trying my best to break all of the old habits and the old way of living. And I'm wanting to create a more perfect vessel so that I can be a living sacrifice to him. And it's not so much that I want, like, I'm going to sacrifice my body. It's no, I want every decision that I make to follow in the footsteps of Jesus.
You want to be in his will.
Exactly. I want to be healthy.
I'm not fully there yet. I want to say I'm fully surrendered.
Uh-huh.
But did I pray for this to go away yet? No.
Uh-huh.
Right, you know,
right.
But I am putting up boundaries.
Yes.
You know, we're in a class right now where they're talking about putting up a boundary, not when you're on the cliff, but a boundary before. And so we're not snacking anymore. Yeah. We're getting rid of the snacks. I know you just saw a thing. It's chips that I just hid. But as soon as they're gone, we're done snacking.
No, I understand.
But you know what I mean? But I think that's the whole problem with addictions.
Right.
It's us seeking something other than God.
Definitely.
Right?
Yes. And that's not okay. It's not okay. So that's the part of this journey right now is that. Let's get that out of the way. Let's get things under control. Let's get your body where it needs to be healthy so that I can be out on the field as his hands and as his feet healthy.
Well, it looks like you are on that journey and you're losing weight and you feel good.
Yes. Feel good. Feel good.
And you're being more mindful about your food, whatever your issue is.
Definitely. Yes, definitely. I'll have to share things with you. I've been doing little creative, little keto friendly, little funny, little beautiful presented little foods. And so,
do you enjoy the artistry?
I love it. It's so fun. Yes.
And I love to eat.
Yeah. So. See, I'll bring you some healthy things.
Yes. Perfect. Perfect. Because when I do the snacking, it's not healthy at all. So you probably lost some friends, some family along the way. Throughout this recovery process of yours, have you got some people back in your life, or what does that look like?
Yes.
Are they okay with the new you? I imagine this new you isn't anything even like the old version.
It's not. I'm 100% different. I mean, I'm still goofy and silly and just, that's still me, and that's me. And I don't want to change who that is, but I'm not as codependent. I mean, I'm still working on things. I'm not as much of a people pleaser. That's a big thing, is I used to be such a people pleaser, and I would get myself into a horrible amount of trouble. And now I'll stand up and say, absolutely not. That's not happening. So that was kind of a good thing that I learned out of that. That's people awesome. That I lost, I am so thankful that they didn't run away, and they didn't run away far. Because the relationship that I have with every one of them is better than it ever was, because it's real. It's not me being codependent. It's not me being a little shell mess of a person, because I've been a mess of a person since I was 17 years old. And now that I'm 40 something.
And still much younger than me.
I feel that the only way to go is absolutely way up from here with those relationships that have come back and that have, I mean, it has taken some time with some of them, and I'm ready for it to take all the time in the world, because they're worth it to me.
That's awesome. It looks like, because I can, you know, see you navigate some of your relationships. Mm-hmm. It looks like everyone's all in, like your immediate family. Yes. Everyone's all in. You guys are very tight.
We're very, very close.
That's nice.
Yeah, I'm so blessed to have every single one of them.
Do you think that support helped you in this recovery process?
100%, yes.
Okay.
Yes. I wasn't alone through any of it. Yeah, I had both my kids and my mom, my dad, and my stepmom, mom, and my best friend, Jessie, who had to protect herself. And
but she's back.
She's back.
Oh,
she's
good.
Back. We've been friends since we were 14.
Wow.
So,
wow.
Yeah. She's a good girl. But my kids, that's a huge part. My oldest daughter came to me the other night, and she says, Mama, I'm so proud. The one that got hurt. Mm-hmm. She said, Mama, I'm so proud of you to see where you've been and where you are now. You're the most amazing mom in the world. That's just the way she is. So I'm not like giving myself kudos, but I'm just saying that those relationships are mended and still mending and getting better than they ever were in the beginning. So I'm so happy.
Good story. Yeah. Like that doesn't always turn out that way. But you know, sometimes people in addiction never take these steps towards recovery.
Right. Yeah.
Okay, so you're in recovery now, and you're maintaining sobriety. Mm-hmm. Is that hard? Is it difficult? Is it just removed, or can you be around I mean, not that you'd want to be around drugs or alcohol, but is it something you could deal with and not be tempted?
Absolutely. Absolutely. I have no want, no, even a still small secret in the back of my mind that I would want to use again. There's no way. It's completely been removed. It's completely been sanctified. God completely took it away.
Okay, that answers that question. So I've had this conversation on another podcast with a non-Christian, and I've had it with a Christian. The non-Christians seem to be, it's white knuckling through it. Like every day is a fight to stay sober.
Yeah.
And the Christians are, it's just gone.
It's
gone. Removed.
Gone.
God removed it. This is what Danny said. She took the appetite for it away.
Yes.
It's just gone.
That's what it is. Like they have the 12-step program, but I have the one step. Straight to him. It's serious. It's real.
You know, I believe it. My mom quit smoking. Just like one day, she just heard one word that was right, prayed, gone.
Yeah.
And she'd smoked for 50 years.
Wow.
Like who, I mean, isn't that crazy?
It is.
I'm sure she doesn't want anyone knowing she smoked now. Sorry, Mom.
I love her. She's wonderful.
So looking back on your life, what are you most grateful for?
I am grateful that I am God called, spirit filled, and reaching my destiny and nobody gave up on me. And that I was good enough. I was created good enough. And I'm learning that every day that I am good enough.
Praise God. You are. You are such a delight. You truly are. It's such a weird word, delight, but you make my heart happy when I see you. Oh. Your mom too, and your dad and your stepmom. Yeah. I mean, you're just very good people.
Oh, thank you.
I'm appreciative. So if you could leave one message for people about your story that you would really want them to understand and know, like if your story could do or say one thing, what would you want it to say to people?
I would want them to know when they're sitting in their home or wherever it is that they're sitting and they're getting high and they think that there's no other way of life, that there's absolutely a way of life that's beyond that. There's hope when you're feeling hopeless, and there's life after the death that you're creating.
This is the resurrected you. That's awesome.
It is.
Well, thank you, Melissa. Do you want to add anything else?
No, thank you so much for having me. I appreciate it.
I really want to thank you for sharing your vulnerable, authentic, courageous story here, because this is hard. It's hard to just share it, you know, with people, but on video for strangers too. I know we already talked about it at the beginning, but it is hard. And I appreciate you doing this because I do believe it helps people. We get messages all the time from stories like this.
Yes, yes.
Private messages from people who are so grateful, or they're move to pray for the person in the podcast or whatever.
Yes.
But there's just no, I don't really see the downside. So I appreciate it. And thank you so much.
Thank you.
And thank you so much for joining us today. Be sure to like and subscribe. It helps us bring stories like Melissa's. If somebody wants to watch them, it helps the algorithm. Thank you. You guys have a good day.